Good morning, church. Some of you know me, not all of you. I'm Steve Nicholson. I'm the founding pastor here and enjoying my retirement. I'm actually busier than I was when I wasn't retired. You know, we're doing this series on the Holy Spirit. Many of you know I grew up in a Pentecostal church. Now, in the Pentecostal church, a commitment to follow Jesus means you go to church three times a week. And we went to church three times a week, and not three times a month even, three times a week. And every time they offered, "Do you want to give your life to Jesus?" I said yes every time. Hundreds of times. And I knew that in saying yes, the Holy Spirit was with me. I mean, like, you know, I heard about the Holy Spirit from day one. You know, my mom, I was born on one day, and the next Sunday I was in church on the front row, and that was how it went from there. So, you know, I knew that, you know, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit and He's with you. But there were some things that I read in the Bible that never quite made sense. When Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "It's to your advantage that I go away so I can send the Holy Spirit," that didn't add up to me. It's sort of like, I'm not sure that was a good trade-off, at least not from what I'm getting out of it right now. And then there was Acts 1:8, you know, where Jesus says, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And sort of like, I don't know where that is. That is missing in my life in some ways. So there's this connection with the Holy Spirit, but also a little bit of a disconnect, that it's not everything promised is getting received. When I finally did receive the power of the Spirit, everything changed. From that point forward, it felt like, oh, this is really an advantage to have Him here. From that point forward, when Jesus talks about Him being the comforter who's with you always, that became really a reality. It's sort of like He became like my best friend and we're constantly talking. When He says, "You'll receive power," that became true. Like, things started happening. Weird things started happening. Great things started happening. Now, you know, almost 40 years later, I can't even begin to tell you all the great things that have happened. I can't even count them. Like, I can remember a day when I thought, do people get healed? How does that work? Now, I've seen so many healings, I can't even remember them all. It changed everything. But the truth is, for a lot of people, that hasn't happened. The Spirit's there, but they're not receiving. There's still this disconnect. They're not receiving all that's been promised. Why? I think there are a lot of reasons, but a very common reason is because actually there's a war in our minds. We have an enemy, and our enemy plants lies in our minds to keep us from becoming who we're meant to be, to keep us from receiving from Jesus our full inheritance in the Holy Spirit. He's waging war against us with lies. And Jesus tells us that we have, that, you know, that He's a liar. John 8:44, He says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies." He uses lies to hold us back. He uses lies to cut us off from the fullness of what God wants to give to us. A couple of months ago, Ted and I were in Baku, Azerbaijan, and on the first day that we got there, they took us to lunch. And we sat down to lunch, and there was a guy there, a younger man that I'd never met before, and he's sitting at the end of the table. And as I'm getting it into my chair, I'm just sitting down, pulling my chair out and getting in, I felt like the Lord said something's going to happen with him. Something's about to happen with him. So I just kept looking at him, trying to figure out what's happening with him. And Adama was sitting next to me, and he noticed too. So he's like watching. And I'm thinking, something's about to happen with him, but I don't know what. And we're having this conversation, and we started telling Holy Spirit stories, like, this happened and that happened and that and this other thing. And all of a sudden, this guy at the end of the table, he says, why don't things like that ever happen to me? And before I could even think, what came out of my mouth was, because you believe a lie. You believe a lie that you got divorced and it was all your fault. And now God can't give you anything. That's the lie that you believe. And the guy started sobbing at the end of the table. And we hadn't even gotten the food yet. And he's sobbing, and the Spirit's coming on him. By the end of the weekend, he's kneeling in front of the church, devoting his life to serving the church for the rest of his life. Because the lie was broken. But until the lie was broken, nothing was happening for him. He believed a lie. Some of you here today have been cheated. You've been robbed. You're being robbed right now by a lie that you believe. And it's keeping you from receiving everything God has for you. A lie from the evil one that makes us think that there's less. So I'm going to give you 7 lies that keep us from receiving the Spirit's power. And the first lie is simply this, that the Holy Spirit and his power aren't really real. This is the lie that had me. This is the one that was in me that was holding me back. Just that it's not real. We think, oh, it's something out there in the spiritual realm, or it's something spiritual, you know, abstract, something imaginary, like somebody's imaginary friend, but not here and now real. Think about it. I'm doing something. All right, let's try it. I think if I hold it in a different way, it'll be all right. You know, it's not here and now real. And what happened was, the first time I met this guy, John Wimber, who was the founder of the Vineyard Movement, I won't tell the whole story, but he, like, all of a sudden says, now receive the Holy Spirit. And it was like a fist hit me in the chest and about knocked me over my chair. And I went through all kinds of permutations. First, like, wait a minute, I got to get a hold of my body so I don't look weird. And then sort of, when does God hit me? And then it was, hold on, that was real. That was not emotional. That was not some abstract thing in the air. That was not some spiritual concept. That was not just something in my mind. That was brute force here and now hitting me in the chest and about knocking me over my chair. And I realized then that this kid who grew up Pentecostal had to repent of my unbelief in the Holy Spirit. And when I said, I repent of my unbelief, I didn't believe you were real, I broke the lie. And the minute that happened, the minute I broke that lie, my whole body goes pins and needles. I can't move. I can't speak. I'm falling over. My friends are catching me. And that continued like that for an hour. and the rest was basically sort of became history. But that was the first lie that held me back, that it's not real, but it is real, here and now real. Second lie, that is, power is not important. It's not really important that we receive power, is the lie. You don't really need that, he says. That's what the enemy says. You don't really need that. You're fine. Just be a good person. You know, I just want to posit that I don't think Jesus' plan was to have a church that just had a lot of nice people in it. Like, you're nice people. But I think he had something else in mind. I think he had something in mind, people who would actually threaten the status quo, not just get along. And that takes power. That's what he had in mind. He says, wait in Jerusalem. Don't even think about going on mission or doing anything for God till you've received this power from in heaven. You've got to wait. Don't try to do anything without it. Because otherwise, then it's just human effort. And if it's just human effort, what are you going to get? You're going to get human institutions. Yeah? But if it's the power of the Spirit, you never know what's going to happen. And that's some people's problem. But I think that's the idea. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away. He thinks it's important. Jesus thought it was very important. And you know what? To a lot of people, it's really important. When I was in Turkey a couple of months ago, we met these people who are Syrian refugees. I don't know if you guys remember, but 10 years ago, when the outbreak of the Syrian war, millions of people from Syria became refugees, and about, I think, 5 or 6 million of them ended up in Turkey. And around Istanbul, there are nearly 1 million of them still living, because they still can't go back. And there's some brothers there that we met who have been building churches among these Syrians, these are Muslim background people, and they've seen in like the last 5 years, thousands of people come to Jesus, all of them by healings and visions and dreams and other miraculous evidences of God's power. It's important to the future and to many people's lives to know his power. So don't believe that lie that it's not important. You know, the third lie is actually that he's not really that good or not that dependable. The enemy comes along, and this is like very much like the way he lies, because his lies are very often almost true. But like, you don't want to get mixed up in that Holy Spirit stuff. If you do that, you know, he might do something not good. He might take your life in a different direction. He might mess things up. You know, you can't depend on him. He's uncontrollable. So you know, better to keep your distance. That kind of lie. So it's saying those kinds of things, better to be like that. Now, it's true that when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to take over. So he will not be controlled, but he will seek to control us. That is very much true. But it is not true that it won't be good. It will be very good. It'll be better than before. Now, some of you, you don't remember, you weren't around long enough, but there's a few of you old timers, you were here when this happened. There was a point in time after we'd started the church when the Lord said, if you want me to continue to work in the church, you have to give the church back to me. I didn't want to do it. Because I started this church so I could have a church I could stand going to. And I thought, if I give this back to God, who knows what he's going to do with it? Who knows what he'll change? Maybe I won't like it. But I couldn't figure out how to say to Jesus, I'm keeping your church for myself. So I turned it over back to him, along with the other leaders in the church. Okay, Jesus, we give. And basically changed everything. I told my father at the end of the year, I said, you know, I don't think he liked our church very much. Because we gave it back to him and he changed everything. But I'm here to tell you it was 1,000 times better. Most of you, if that hadn't happened, most of you wouldn't have been in this room. You know, because part of that deal was becoming a diverse church, which we weren't at the time. That was one of the things he changed. So many other things. There's not enough time to say it all, but it's way better. And that's how it is. You know, he does shake things up. He does change things, but it's for the way better. It's way good. It's wonderful things. You know, the Bible says the things he has for us are beyond what we've imagined. You know, about 5-6 years ago, somebody came to me. You know, as I'm getting close to retirement, somebody comes to me and said, have you achieved your dreams for your life? And I laughed. And I said, oh, we passed those up so long ago, I can't remember what they were. Because we went way beyond my wildest dreams and my wildest imaginations. What has happened? What has become of us? Standing here in this room today, it's way beyond my wildest imaginations. He's good. Fourth lie, that we're not good enough. You know, that was the lie that had the guy in Baku. He felt disqualified. He was not good enough. And because he believed the lie, he couldn't receive from God. So many of us, this is one of the biggest ones. Oh, God doesn't want to use you. That kind of stuff only happens to special people. That's only for holy people. Which I would say, like, nope, not hardly, but the enemy will try to tell you, it's not you, you're not good enough, and he'll remind you some reason why you're not good enough. You know, God doesn't want to use you. You know, it's by grace that we receive from God. This is what the Bible affirms over and over. It's not by works, it's by grace. It's grace, grace, grace. God's grace given to us. We receive by embracing his grace that he freely gives to us, his favor he gives to us that we don't deserve but receive. So don't believe that lie. And kind of very similar to it is the fifth lie, that God doesn't actually want to use us. The first one's like, you're not good enough. Second one is that he doesn't want to use you. You know, back in the 80s, John Wimber was doing these big conferences all over the world, you know, England and Australia and South Africa and New Zealand and around the United States, different places. And he would take big teams of people, and we would get to send, you know, to many of these trips, we'd send 10 or 20 people from our church who would go as part of this bigger team to be a part of the prayer team. Every time we went, somebody on our team would disappear in the middle. We'd be seeing visible miracles in the room, like people being healed in front of our eyes. We saw the blind see, folks, in those meetings. But somebody on our team would disappear, and we'd find them hiding out in the hallway or something. And when we get to them, we'd find out all of a sudden they got obsessive thoughts that go like this. Nobody gets healed when you pray for them. God doesn't really want to heal anybody through you. You never should have come on this trip. God doesn't want to use you. You should never have come. And the people on the team, they don't like you anyway. You should just go home. That kind of lie. And they would just let you be running. And the next thing you know, they're backing out. They're giving up. They're moving out in the hallway. They're moving away from everybody. We finally got to where we would tell people, like, if you're going to come with us, you have to promise us that if you find yourself thinking along that line, that you'll tell somebody. Because if they would tell somebody, we would get a couple people around. We'd pray for them for a couple of minutes, 2, 3, 4 minutes, and that lie would just, the power of it would be broken almost instantly, just on spots, like sticking your finger up and popping a soap bubble. You know, it's sort of like, we have weapons to counter these lies, but of course you have to use them. And I wonder how many of us sitting here today are not experiencing the fullness just because that same old lie is rattling around in our head. God doesn't really want to use you. Nothing's going to happen through you. Sixth lie, that we might become prideful if we get filled with God's power. Oh, you don't want to get too full of power because you might become prideful. That's the line. You know, it's a funny kind of line. Again, it's another one of those half-truth things, right? Because we've seen people who use power in prideful ways. But not doing it doesn't save you from pride. There's only one thing that saves you from pride, folks. That's humility. That's what saves you from pride. Not doing God's work, not refusing to use your gifts to serve God's kingdom, that doesn't save you from pride. Here's the deal. You need to use everything you've got and everything you can receive from God to serve your fellow brothers and sisters and people around the world, and at the same time, just be radically open about your mistakes and weaknesses. Then you won't have any problem with pride. And besides which, when you're praying for people, it doesn't always work. Like, I've prayed for like maybe 20, 30,000 people, and at least half of them, nothing happened. You know, it's you know, I just remind myself, in baseball, you can fail 70% of the time, and they'll pay you millions of dollars. You know, so we don't let that lie that about pride keep you and hold you back. Because when you do, you're not just ripping off yourself, you're ripping off all the people around you. All the people who might benefit, but from what God would do through you. And here's the irony. The seventh lie is that we might lose our pride if it happens. First he says, oh, you don't want to get too prideful. And then it's sort of like, you might lose your pride. You might do something undignified. You might fall on the ground. You might shake. You might yell and scream. That was kind of me. When I first started, just before I got hit and just about knocked over my chair, there was a lady, she was shaking her hands like that. And I realized now that was because she was feeling energy in her hands, and that made her, that God was charging her hands up for healing. And she didn't know what to do with it, so her hands are shaking. But I just thought she was weird. You know, like, oh, she's weird. Where are the ushers? You know, California, you know, and bring out all my Chicago judgments on California people, you know, and all that. So when I got hit, my first concern was I don't want to look weird. I don't want to lose my pride. Well, I lost my pride and haven't looked for it since. Like, you know, it's very interesting, you know, on the day of Pentecost, you know, there were people who mocked them. They thought, oh, they're just drunk. They lost their dignity, as it were. But maybe that's not as bad as we think it is. You know, it kind of reminds me, what are we doing on? Yeah, okay. I don't know if I'm going to tell that story. I'll do it this way. We had a baby dedication. Grandma comes. Grandma's from a Dutch family in Western Michigan. This is like a highly, you know, works sober. We are practical people family. Grandma comes for the baby dedication, and there was some word or something about we want to pray for people who have this condition, and that was the condition that Grandma had. Grandma goes up to get prayed for that condition, and the power of the Spirit comes on her really powerfully, and she ends up bouncing on the floor in front of the church. Boom, 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 she's bouncing. Grandma, for an hour, like we were all out there, you know, getting bagels and coffee, and Grandma's in here and losing her dignity. When she came out of it, she was completely drunk. She couldn't stand up. She couldn't speak without slurring her words. She was laughing hysterically, you know, flopping all over everybody and hugging people in not entirely appropriate ways. Just like, and the daughter's like shocked. She'd never seen her mother like this. But what happened was when she was able to compose herself a little bit, it turned out she had been subject to depression for like 15 years. And when she got up there, she says, Jesus reached inside of me and jerked out a black thing, and it's gone. And she was set free from depression. That was worth losing a little pride over. Those are the lies that keep us from receiving the good stuff that God has for us. And some of you maybe recognize those lies, or one of them. And the question is, are you going to keep believing the lies? Are you going to believe Jesus and follow his plan? Let's stand. Now, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to invite the Spirit to come and release his power in the room. But first, I'm going to invite him to break the power of the lies. And if you really want to get rid of a lie and break it while we're praying, you name that lie and raise your hand and give that lie to Jesus. As I'm praying against the lies, okay? And then we'll receive. Now, just a couple of things about receiving. When we get to the receiving part, don't pray. You have to just receive. Be still and know that you're God. So you don't pray. Don't try to make anything happen. It's just you got to just be still and let it come. When he starts touching you, it's likely not emotional. It'll be more likely physical than emotional. And you just say yes. That's the one prayer that's allowed. Yes, Lord. Nothing else. Don't compare how you're reacting, how your body reacts to other people. Sometimes our bodies don't react very much, and it seems very quiet and peaceful. And sometimes our bodies react a lot, and it's not so quiet. And it's all really the same in the end. Okay, fair enough? Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come right now with your light of truth. And may you search out in every mind and heart right here that's standing here this morning the lies that are keeping them from receiving everything you got for them. May you break the power of those lies right now. May you stop those lies In Jesus' name, they are lies. They are not the truth. The lies that have been planted in their hearts, in their minds, they're not the truth. Break their power over them now and let them receive from you now, Jesus, the power and the inheritance that you have for them. Now, Holy Spirit, release your power on the people in this room. Release the power to heal the sick. Release the power to cast out demons. Release the power to give prophetic words and to see visions and dreams. Release the power to be a people who do extraordinary things, not in themselves, but in the power of the Spirit. Now receive. Now we're just going to wait. And as we wait, he'll start to move and he'll start to touch different people. All right. Some, quite a lot of you, the Spirit's really touching you right now. And you're feeling heat or tingling somewhere in your body or on your hands. You're, you know, there's something happening. And if you would like to receive more, you can just stay where you are and keep receiving. Or you can, if you want somebody to pray for you, you can go in the back corner. There'll be some people back there who will pray for you, and that'll take it further. You can get more. But we have to. We're out of time, and we gotta wrap it up. Parents gotta get their kids. Lord Jesus, may you keep giving us all that you've got for us and help us to stand strong against all the lies, that we can be your people shining as lights in the world. Amen. Go out in the world and be the church.